Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Being it can never be a case that if someone wants to be a champion, you have to put a cocktail of potentially dangerous substances into your body.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
To hear the full version of the Sunday paper review, become an Off the Ball member now.
All right, welcome along to the Sunday Paper Review, 26th of October. Adrian with you today. Delighted to say I'm joined by a couple of royalty, I think it's fair enough to say. Colm O'Rourke, John Duggan. How are you doing, lads?
Good morning.
How are you getting on?
Very, very well.
Morning, Adrian.
Royalty is, you know, often an overused word, but I think I can feel I'm in legit company this morning to use that.
Well, Colm was sporting royalty when I was growing up because I was a fanatical Dublin football supporter as a young lad, and Colm's team broke my heart on many occasions in the late 80s and early 90s. Remember bawling my eyes out in 1988 when Charlie Redmond missed the penalty. Listen to me, Oliver Hershick and Cliny Hill, my father, and Meath beat Dublin in the Leinster final. Would have many victories for me over the Dubs.
Pity we didn't beat you more often.
The good thing about it is over the last 40 years Dublin have done okay, so I'm at peace with it now.
We were saying outside I disliked Meath as a concept, but I love that team. I don't know quite why that was. We'll see a counsellor about it at some point. But
yeah, I think it was the silky skills that we showed in every game.
The reality of that was definitely a reason why a part of it. And the jersey definitely hooked me as well.
Yes. Well, that was the start of sponsorship too.
Yeah.
It was the first years of sponsor on the jersey.
Keepak.
In 1991. Keepak, of course, were the original of the species. Yeah. O'Reilly Transport actually were in for two of the games in 91, and then Keepak took over for a long, long time.
I dislike Meath so much I went and married a Meath woman. That's what happened to me.
You definitely need counselling.
The Sunday Independent we'll begin with to give people a flavour of what's happening across the back pages today, or the front pages of sports sections more accurately in a couple of cases. Sunday Independent: Reds fall to another defeat. Brentford inflict fourth straight league loss on the champions, and a photograph in the front there of that crunching tackle between former teammates Caoimhín Kelleher and Mo Salah, and it was very much Kelleher to the rescue. But Brentford, who held out 3-2, Amorim refuses to get carried away, third successive win eases pressure on Old Trafford boss, and then a teaser on top there, David Gillick: I was gorging because of crippling loneliness. There's a couple of very interesting pieces with David Gillick as he releases his new book in the papers today. King Kenny in the Sunday Times: from Celtic prodigy to tragedy of Hillsborough, Dalglish opens up to reveal the real King Kenny. Interview inside by Jonathan Northcroft. And one kind of newsy line from across the papers today is by Paul Joyce in the Times: Dewsbury Hall rejects Ireland overtures, reveal that that Ireland have been courting him for half a decade, but the Everton midfielder wants to play for England. Like, there's more detail, but like, when you hear that, that's it until about 3 years' time when he doesn't get the England call-up and he's back in green again. Chance to chumps goes the Mail on Sunday. Liverpool feeling green after fourth straight Premier League defeat, and it's frustrated Dominic Szoboszlai there. And fuming Maresca lays into his Chelsea flops, writes Kieran Gill inside. The Sunday World: bright sparks, United make it three consecutive Premier League wins despite late scare as Mbeumo hits double. That is inside there. Managers continue to roll the dice. Amai O'Brien can be a Chicago Bear. It's the speedy Tommy O'Brien, writes Rory O'Connor. The Irish Sun: be sharp, Keith Ladd sting when they're winning. Be sharp, as in the Brentford Bees. More on that game inside. The Sunday Mirror goes with Final Bell: Amorim eyes shock move for starlet Job, brother of Jude, obviously, but co-owner Sir Jim says no to the big, says a big no, I should say, to Lewandowski, as opposed to the pun I was going with. And more reflections on inside on those other games. And lastly then, the people: Threasy does it. Ruben Amorim joked it would not be a Manchester United without suffering a little bit after his side survived a late scare against Brighton and sealed the win. And then Giza Job: Red Devils eye January move for Bellingham Jr., as a pun on, what was the character's name? We've discussed him on this before, funny enough. Giza Job, what was his name?
Yasser Hughes from Boys of the Black Stuff.
That's the
one
man.
Of the great documentary series or fictional documentaries of Thatcherism.
Anybody, yeah. Anybody who's out sort of getting through Dublin traffic today will have be aware the Dublin Marathon is happening. It's a free. It's the people that are going out to watch this thing that I actually feel most sympathy for today, I must say, because it's Baltic out there.
Yeah, it's pretty cold.
Not so bad if you're running 42 kilometres, whatever it is. But
it's not good for them either, I would think.
No, tough going on all accounts, and fair play to everybody in hard conditions. But I think you were both very much drawn to Sinead Cassan's piece with Dick Hooper today in the Sunday Independent, maybe to kick things off. Long association, obviously, with the marathon, Dick Hooper.
Yeah, and I suppose what the original winner of the Dublin Marathon back in, 1980, was it? And he talks about the fact that it was so unusual for runners at that time that he was running down in Mayo at one stage. His wife was from Mayo, and he says that they used to call him the streaker down there. So it had a different context later on to what he's been called. And of course, himself and his brother running in the marathon and running in the Olympics for Ireland. And also an interesting thing where he wasn't happy with the shirt for the Olympics, and he bought shorts himself in Boston. So how things have changed in that regard.
Yeah, interesting piece, JD, the Dick Hooper piece.
Yes, and a lot about his relationship with his late brother, Pat, who was also a runner, and they both ran in the 1980 marathon for the Olympics in Moscow. And like a kind of an unsaid relationship, really, between the pair. Competitive sibling rivalry, but also that respect and that love, which is often unsaid. And just what he's doing now is read out here. Coaching feeds his competitive buzz these days. He's got great hopes for his current group at Rohini Shamrock. He still puts on his running gear, goes for a run, or shuffling, as he calls it, around 8:30 a.m. most days for 10K. Been running for about 54 years, has kept a record of all his mileage. There was a time when he ran 5,000 miles a year. Now it's down to 1,500. Overall, he's clocked around 193,000 miles. Part of him would love to reach 200,000. It's therapeutic. I just love it. I find it so satisfying. It's all these endorphins that make you feel good about yourself. Also in the piece, kind of on the rivalry with Gerry Kiernan, the late Gerry Kiernan. They both went to LA in 1984. He went to Seoul in 88, had his best run. And a bit like the David Gillick pieces we see here in the papers today, getting there and running in the world stage of the Olympics is, people talk about achievements in terms of winning things, but for Dick Hooper to win three Dublin marathons and to be actually even at an Olympics with his brother was a significant achievement, and he's still going strong. And yeah, it's a lovely piece by Sinead Cassan in the Sunday Independent today.
Yeah, and interesting the rivalry with Gerry Kiernan at the time, and of course Gerry Kiernan was a great man on the television for analysing all the big races from the Olympics. We'll get used to him, and he's gone much too quick. But I think Dick Hooper makes the point, and it's the same in every sport, that you need rivalry. And for him, the big rivalry was with Gerry Kiernan. And of course, they ran for different clubs in Dublin. So you need that rivalry in every sport. But it was the first time that Sinead Cassan does a very good piece that it brings out how it can work in an individual sport as well.
Yeah, you wouldn't think about it that way too often. And the piece with his brother is lovely, like including the closing bit where Dick remembers that Pat told him directly that Dick remembers one evening when Pat told him something directly that skirted as close to open admiration as they'd got. They attended an awards ceremony with many former GEA greats and listened to the speeches. I remember him saying to me on the way out, I was listening to those speeches all night, and to me, nothing any of those fellas did surpass what you did. And that was nice. So I think he was proud of me. Like, it's a very quintessentially Irish story, isn't it? Like,
yes, and very much the same in the piece, which we'll talk about later with Kenny Dalglish. Like, his father never praised him, but if he said nothing, he knew he played well.
Yeah. Read the tea leaves. Like.
Yeah. If he did something wrong, he told him. So if it was a quiet car on the way home from a game, it meant that he'd done very well. Yeah. I think it was the typical father-son relationship up until quite recently in Ireland, that sort of thing. But now we have to be all softly and praise them even when they miss an open goal and do something stupid. So positive reinforcement is the thing now.
It sounds like you're dubious about that. yes, so Liverpool, I wanted to talk about Champs to Chumps was the one in the Mail, I think, that I read out earlier on. And listen, there could be an awful lot of reasons behind all of this stuff, like in terms of obviously the player turnover they've had, like key players in key positions, you know, an aging Mo Salah, certainly the passing of Diogo Jota and the emotional impact that must be having in the squad. There's an awful lot going on. People forget also it's Arne Slot, just his second season. Like, he did so well in his first season that people sort of, you think that he's into season five or six here. But I know I'm reaching with this, Colm, but 87, 88 and then 89, these things are in no way in comparison. You know, Liverpool didn't quite come out of nowhere, but they went and won the Premier League season. Now they're suffering a serious dip. You guys had won the All-Ireland 87 and 88, and then 89, things come a cropper, not in the same fashion at all, and it's a one-off game, obviously, but we were both reminiscing about the Kieran Kilduff goal, different sides of the fence outside.
Well, it appears at the moment as if Slot has too many good players, that's his problem, that he's trying to... Last year, their squad was quite limited, and they won, and of course, Salah was the star, and he's finding it hard to keep going. When I looked at them in the green jerseys, I was thinking maybe they should do what Alex Ferguson did. Remember all those years ago again when United were wearing the grey jerseys, the and he blamed it on the jersey. Yeah. Throw away the jersey and get a new set, and maybe that would change things. But we were going for three in a row, but it's not the same, I suppose. We had the same squad, as distinct from the huge changes that have taken place in Liverpool. The big thing is hunger. We had also been going straight from league to championship, and we tried to win everything. We're getting old, and we decided we better keep going while the thing was hot. But we suffered a few injuries, and that, I think Mick Lyons was injured that year. Kieran Duff got a goal in the Leinster final. I think everybody from Meath remembers it because he ran half of O'Connell Street without doing anything and stuck it in the back of the net. Fair play to Dully, he kept going, a great fella altogether. And then I think it was Joe McNally in the last few minutes took a shot, and one of our lads deflected it into the net. So it was one of those sort of games, and there was no back door. We had a good team and probably would have been in the firing line again, but you got one shot at it.
What was the chat like? So post 87, 88, what's the chat going into 89? Is there three in a row chat? Is there, listen lads, slate is clean, we go again? Or how did that play out?
I think it was very much we'll go again, but I think in the back of everybody's mind, you know, this would be a historic feat in Meath. Nobody had ever done it before, and it was probably the same in 91 when we played the 10 games. Everybody said nobody has ever done this before. If we win this one, we'll be right. But we came a cropper in both of those games. And Dublin then went on and were beaten by Cork in the semi-final, and Cork won the All-Ireland who we'd beaten in the previous two. So again, those great rivalry. The rivalry with ourselves in Dublin was vicious at that time. We met them in the league final in 88, which went to a replay as well, and there was a certain amount of casualties of war in that game where either fellas were sent off or carried off, so I don't know which you were better off in. So that was the sort of rivalry. But again, in every great rivalry, each team needs to win at least once. And that was always the problem with the Dublin-Mayo recent rivalry. Mayo never won. So to have a great rivalry with Cork and Kerry, Meath and Dublin, I mean, each side needs to have the occasional win, or it's not a rivalry.
To hear the full version of the Sunday Paper Review, become an Off The Ball member now.